Well, scenes across the country have erupted as protesters, which you can see pictured here, have been clashing with police. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting sick of two things. I'm getting sick of hearing about Israel and Palestine. I'm just tired of it. I thought we got over this. We're trying to fix our problems at home, not caring more about other countries. Our damn border is broken. But on top of that, I'm tired of people having an opinion on the ability for students, whether you disagree with them or not, to have the freedom to speak their minds. You see the police clamping down on this, and the reason why it makes me upset primarily, as we'll talk about later with my guest Valentina Gomez, is that, look, I disagree with a lot of these people. These are BLM people that marched in 2020 that I exposed, but a lot of these people are not using violence and they're getting treated like they're burning down cities while the BLM protesters who literally burned down cities got treated like they weren't. Check this out, this scene out from Indiana University.
Long live Palestine!
Long live Palestine!
Bring them home! Bring them home! Bring them home! Bring them home!
All right, this is a complex issue. There's so much to unpack here. And guys, I'm going to have to ask you that you try to leave your opinion on whether you support Palestine or Israel, or you don't care about either at the door, and try to be an American for this episode so we can really, truly try to understand what's going on in our country, not play partisan politics, and genuinely seek what's going on, because it is an election year. My name is Elijah Schaefer. It's approximately 10:13 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States. This is Nightly Offensive. Let's start the show. I'd like to welcome my guest today, Valentina Gomez. She's absolutely fantastic, running currently for Missouri Secretary of State, also a firebrand online, one of my favorite people on the internet right now. Valentina, welcome to the show, and tell us how you're doing, a little bit about yourself, and what's going on.
Good evening, Elijah. Great to be on your show. Good evening to everyone else watching in the audience. I'm 24 years old, running for office in the great state of Missouri, specifically Secretary of State, the chief of elections, in charge of libraries, and in charge of bringing integrity back to Missouri. And I'm glad and blessed to be here with you tonight.
Yeah, you know what? I'm so happy to be here with you because we got an interesting topic to discuss. Okay, we got to tackle something that I think is tough. Because I don't know about you, but out the gate, I know it's really hard for people that are Republican to have any sympathy for protesters before January 6th because we watched the left, you know, just violate the sanctity of our inner cities. And then when January 6th happened, we saw the law clamp down on protesters. We saw people prosecuted, what I believe to be illegally, for crimes that they never even committed, right? Like stopping an official proceeding. And people started to become skeptical, like, wait a second. So our police can keep law and order. They just selectively choose which things to enforce and which people to punish. So when we're seeing these protests, which we'll look at a couple going on in Austin, this major protest, tear gas is being used now, pepper spray, it's an escalation, it's an election year. Do you think that these protests are a natural, organic thing, or is this just more election 2024 shenanigans? Because, like, again, last time we had these major protests, it was an election year. Is that what this is, or is this a real grassroots social movement?
I honestly believe that these are all coordinated attacks. And let's go back to January 6th. Elijah, insurrectionists do not come with selfie sticks and banners. They come fully armored and ready to tear down everything. So let's start there. And in regards to the protests right now, I'm all about protesting. I'm all about freedom of speech. I'm all about you speaking up for what you believe in. And let's be honest. These people have already taken their campuses over, have made threats against Jewish students, and now are chanting death to America. Once you start doing that, once you start interfering in the daily activities of a university, it is no longer a peaceful protest. So we need to be conscious of that. We need to be cognizant of that. So once you move on from peaceful to violent, that's when freedom of speech and also your freedom to protest ends, because you have to be aware of other people's surroundings. You have to be aware of what's happening. And these people are chanting death to America. BLM and Antifa are coming together to support Hamas. Hamas is here to kill the Jews and now to kill Americans.
So yes, let me talk to you about this. I want to get your opinion because I sort of have a slightly different view, only from being on the ground. I don't know if you know about this, but I spent like a year of my life directly, you know, working on the ground as a journalist at extremist events. So I feel like there's an interesting thing to clarify here in my mind is I have not been tracking, but I have a video of what happened at University of Texas. And I want to surround our conversation here because you and I come from slightly different perspectives on the protests. And I think we can, so does my audience. They're pretty split on this stuff too. And I think we can come to a good conclusion here. So I want to play this video from the University of Texas in Austin. And what we have here particularly is the police escalating or trying to break up the protest. You mentioned that they've transitioned from being peaceful. And I want to pick your brain on that after we watch this. But I want to show you guys where we're at. This was a clash that just happened in Austin, Texas. Check it out. All right, I want to pick your brain on this because I am not seeing, like, I'm seeing two things here. And I'm not on the ground in the United States. I'm in Australia right now. So I'm trusting you and your perspective. Are these protests genuinely Hamas or are they just pro-Gaza? Because, like, I've been to college and lack of better words, college students are retarded. They're like literally stupid. And I genuinely don't think half of them even understand what they're protesting for. But a lot of what I've seen is that they're protesting against Israel's actions in Palestine, the like sort of bombing of buildings and the killing of over 30,000 civilians, which I believe is actually more than even what Putin's killed in his multi-year war in Ukraine. Is that not what's happening? Where is the evidence? Because I just am not seeing it that this is actually Hamas or that this is like a terrorist organization. Did I get you right? Is that what you were saying? Or what do you mean by that?
Well, I'm not saying that these students are specifically 100% Hamas. But all I'm saying is that do not mess with Texas. Texas is America first. And as soon as you try to make Texas liberal, they're going to come for you and they're going to shut that thing down. And in regards to these students, my brother is a student at Columbia University. He's a National Guardsman. And what he has experienced is astonishing. Jewish students are being threatened and Hamas can end this right away. They can release the hostages and peace talks can begin. As soon as they do that, I think the war can end, but they don't want to have any sort of negotiation whatsoever. They just want to overtake what is happening. They want to take the state of Israel and are chanting death to them. And now are chanting death to America.
You know, so this is a good point you make. The death to America thing is how I can tell that these are leftists. Like, to me, that's not proof it's Hamas. It's I witnessed this from 2020 until now. You can go back. These same people have been around and they, you know, there's new ones that come up every year. It's not saying this is the exact same people. They hate America. And to me, what I see about the anti-Israel protests or the hatred of these people has nothing to do to me with Hamas, but the fact that they hate white people. And there's been this anti-white message pushed on college campuses for decades, like just vitriolic hatred towards white people. Even if you're not white and you fight for the rights of white people, they'll call you names. They'll call you a sellout, whitewashed, right? You can never win here. And they see Israel as a vassal state, or at least propped up by the United States, another war that we're funding, a colonial settlement. And so there's this anti-colonialism that was rooted in white hatred. But because 6 out of 7 of the Ivy League schools are run by Jewish Zionists, they actually promote that sort of ideology. Now that ideology has gotten out of control, the anti-white hatred there's nothing to stop it. And now these same leftists, whether they're white or brown, have now directed their energy towards Israel, the new current thing. And now they hate them. And I don't know if I'm right on this, but my opinion is they only hate, Israel because they hated white people first. And they only hate Israel because the hatred of white people made them anti-colonial. And that's all the idea that it's stolen land and the same thing that we've always heard. So would you say that the hatred of Israel and the protests you're seeing on the ground, which I want to play a clip of real quickly. Would you say, let me play this here. This is at a guy who got pepper sprayed, by the way. These don't seem like very tough dudes. Let me, Brian, I'm going to put this up real quickly. This doesn't seem like a tough guy. Watch.
Open your eyes. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. Look up. Look up. Open your eyes. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay.
So I don't know how many people are needed to get pepper spray out of the eyes, but these just look like leftists to me who hate white people. Am I wrong on that? Is this really like terrorist led? Is that your opinion? Or do you think this roots from the leftism we've been seeing over the last several years, this hatred that's been coming, forth of white people, of Republicanism, of the right wing? Because it sucks, man. I'm not there on the ground, but you've been around, you've seen it. So what do you see is actually going on?
Well, he's making a show and giving us the opportunity to see the show. And Elijah, let's be honest, this is called indoctrination. You're getting in debt. You're going to school to get indoctrinated, to hate America, to hate what makes America great, to hate excellence, to hate authenticity, and to support terrorist organizations. So if you hate America so much, I'll be more than happy to pay for your flight to Palestine, wherever the fuck that is. Because you're either a patriot or a traitor.
Right. You know what's interesting is, like, I think the complex notion, though, what I'm seeing here is, when is it okay to stick the police on the protesters? I'm not trying to get you in trouble here, but this is a question I've been asking. All right. I think we would both agree that if you're calling for violence or inciting violence, that would warrant police intervention, correct? Or we're on the same page?
100%. Okay. It doesn't matter if I don't agree with what you're protesting. Do it peacefully. As soon as that goes out the window, as soon as you start becoming violent, it is no longer peaceful. Intervention needs to get taken. Intervention needs to get put in, and you need to be neutralized in some way.
Okay, so let's break that apart then with neutralization. So what do you think constitutes these protesters, being in a position to be neutralized? Like, when do they cross the line? Is it something they say? Is it something they do? Because personally, as somebody who literally hates leftist fucktards, I hate them. And I probably wouldn't get along with any of these people at these protests. I probably wouldn't like them personally. I wouldn't have them over my house. And, we're both against what's going on in Israel for different reasons. I'm against it because I don't want to spend my tax dollars there. And I think that Israel's committing war crimes on our tax dollar, and I don't want to pay for that. I don't want to pay for Ukraine either. I have the same opinion on Israel as I do Ukraine. Not our fight. Let them do what they need to do, but I don't want to get involved, okay? They are anti-white, anti-colonial. But I'm not understanding, when I see the police use force, I haven't seen footage of them getting violent. We could talk about the trespassing and the illegal camping. That's a whole nother, statement of intervention. But, like, what is the standard here, or what do you think is what they're looking at and saying, hey, here's how they're acting violent? Is it just words? Is it actions? Because they say words are just words until actions actually start. What is your opinion on that? Like, where's the line on violence and nonviolent protests?
Well, Elijah, they're disrupting the flow of operations. As soon as that is disrupted, as soon as that is compromised, the police have to step in. It's very simple. We don't need to overcomplicate it.
Okay, so then just to play devil's advocate here, with Canada, right? There was the trucker protest, and they blocked. I don't even know if you support that. It's fine if you don't, but they blocked the border between the U.S. and Canada over the vaccine mandates and the shutting down of the economy. And the way that Justin Trudeau justified arresting them, and I think that the organizer, who's a dope right-wing girl, by the way, be praying for her, guys. She's, like, fantastic. They arrested her on the same thing, too, of incitement, as in blocking the movement of goods and impeding. They treat her like a domestic terrorist. So the reason why I've been more cautious, Valentina, with, like, my assertions on these things is, like, I used to be totally like, fuck these people. They should all get, you know, burn in hell, which they probably will. And in 2020, which was kind of was justified because George Floyd is not a hero. But then I watched in January 6th, people who did commit petty crimes, maybe trespassing. Like I said, they trespassed or they did something minor. And then they got, you know, several years in prison. Sometimes up to 22 years in prison because they were, you know, deemed the domestic terrorists. And so they trumped up the charges based on these sort of like bogus assumptions and put them in prison. And it made me think, maybe I need to be careful on how I judge my enemy, because what I wish for my enemy may end up happening to me. And if I'm ever wishing something unjust upon my enemy, then perhaps something unjust will happen to me, like a karmic price sort of. I don't believe in karma, but there is an energy or a price that you pay for what you put into the world. And so, in your opinion, is what they're doing problematic because, like, let's say, like you said, they're trespassing, blocking, like not causing the school to function, or is it literal violence that's allowing that? Because I could agree on the camping part. I just haven't seen the violence, and maybe we're on different timelines, but I like kind of want to know exactly what's happening. When I still have a business in Texas, we're paying to stop these demonstrations. What is it that they're doing that warrants tear gas, pepper spray, etc.? Because I honestly just don't know.
Well, there's two consequences that have already resulted from this. First, graduation has been canceled for these students. And second, online classes are now a 2024 thing. So what happened in 2020 is coming back again. And let me go back to George Floyd. George Floyd is a drug addict and a criminal. So he should have never been propagandized as a hero. He should have been propagandized as a drug addict and criminal that he is.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. And before we go any further, I want to give a huge shout out to one of our sponsors for today. Guys, you know the drill. I've been talking to you guys a lot about what's been going on in the country. There's been these demonstrations. I think it's very difficult to talk about, but it is so important that you check out The Wellness Company, because as you know, as we talked about, you know, 2020, there was protests, but also there was COVID, the scamdemic, and they weren't allowing you to get access to basic medication. Even if you could get into the hospital to get something that was like an antibiotic, a lot of times they wouldn't let you in for non-medical necessities. And then after the fact, they also outlawed ivermectin. So my friends at The Wellness Company have created an emergency kit. No, it's not just an emergency kit with Band-Aids and everything that you need, which they do have and you should get from them to support yourself in the show. This is something different. It's an emergency medical kit that comes with ivermectin, which they banned, which has been proven to help with fighting basic viral infections, a Z-Pak, amoxicillin. I mean, look, you could be prepared for war with your guns, your bullets. It's all good. You should have your vests and different things to protect your body. But what about having and protecting your immune system? Obviously, I'm not saying you should be taking antibiotics all the time, but when our supply chains get pushed down, when you can't get access to basic antibiotics that could save your life, you're going to be shooting yourself in the foot, no pun intended, or someone will be shooting you when you didn't go to twc.health/offensive. That's twc.health/offensive for 10% off your emergency kit. You've got to check it out. Links in the description. Do not wait until it's too late. Go to twc.health/offensive for 10% off. My guest, Valentina Gomez, we're talking a little bit about just the reality of what's going on. So Brian, we don't need to put that one up. We can go here. That's my layout here. So I wanted to show you a clip of Trump talking about this to get his opinion. He weighed in directly on this. It's about 2 minutes long, but Donald Trump blasted the protests and said what's going on at the college level and the colleges, Columbia, NYU, and others, is a disgrace, and it's on Biden. I'm a big Trump guy myself. I don't know if you are, but
I love President Trump. He's going to come back, make America great again, and he's the last hope for Western civilization, Elijah.
I know. I know. I told you, look, I hate this subject myself too, because it's difficult, but I also, it's hard for me because people aren't balanced on this issue. People are just anti-Israel or anti-Gaza. And like, I just feel, I sense that there's a lot of disingenuous people where they're not trying to understand the truth. And the reason why I'm really concerned with the police force that's being used is because, look, I think they're going to rig the election, and I think we might genuinely lose. And they might not need to do it through, not just ballot harvesting, not just stuffing ballot boxes. They have millions of illegals that are going to be voting in this election, most likely. And it's possible. So I'll be protesting myself. Actually, I'll be a journalist. I'll be at the protest, I should say, not protesting. But I don't want to get my ass beat by DHS, which broke my leg in Portland. While I was documenting the protests there, I don't want to be, seeing Americans get hurt that aren't violent, basically. But Trump has a different word. We're going to play this. Then I want to hear from you, Valentina, on what you think about this. Let's go ahead and let's put this full screen, Brian.
When you get out and look what's going on at the college level and the colleges, Columbia, NYU, and others, is a disgrace. And it's really on Biden. He has the wrong signal. He's got the wrong tone. He's got the wrong words. He doesn't know who he's backing. And it's a mess. And if this were me, it'd be after me. It'd be after me so much. But they're trying to give him a pass. But what's going on is a disgrace to our country. And it's all Biden's fault. And everybody knows it. He's got no message. He's got no compassion. He doesn't know what he's doing. He can't put two sentences together, frankly. He is the worst president in the history of our country. And again, what's going on is a disgrace. Now, it's interesting outside. For great Americans, people that want to come down and they want to protest at the court, and they want to protest peacefully, we have more police presence here than anyone's ever seen. For blocks, you can't get near this courthouse. And yet you have nobody up at a college where you have very radical people wanting to rip the colleges down, the universities down, and that's a shame. But it all starts with Joe Biden. The signals he puts out are so bad. And I can tell you, he's no friend of Israel, that's for sure. And he's no friend of the Arab world either. You take a look at what he said. He's no friend of, he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to do. He wants to take like a middle ground, and oftentimes that doesn't work, but it's certainly not working here. But what he's done to Israel is abandon them. And he's trying to be as nice as he can to the other side. Call it the Arab world, but that's not working either, because they get him. And he's an incompetent man. A peace will never happen with a guy like this. Thank you very much.
So Valentina, so that's Trump's opinion. I want to get your opinion on what he said there. He's saying that, Biden's abandoned Israel. It's not good. He wouldn't abandon Israel. That's where he kind of wants to go. And then called the protests disgraceful. From your opinion, is that an accurate understanding of what's going on? Can you weigh in on his comments?
1,000%. Joe Biden is not a friend of America either. Let me set that record straight. Also, Governor Hochul from New York, the most incompetent governor of America. Eric Adams, DEI mayor, has destroyed New York City, has driven that city to the ground. New York City has fallen to its own ideologies of destruction. And now, come on, Elijah, you know that college students are malleable. They're easy to shift. And that's exactly what is happening. We have Marxists, little Marxists, walking around, taking over campuses. And now the inmates are running the asylum.
I agree with you. I wanted to switch off like this subject a little bit into some stuff that's going on here with these libtards that are around the whole country. Drew Barrymore had Kamala Harris on her show, and you said people are malleable. I guess they really are. Check out how cringe this is. She calls Kamala our mamala of our country. This is for real. Listen.
I've been thinking that we really all need a tremendous hug in the world right now.
Yeah.
But in our country, we need you to be mamala of the country.
Yeah. Valentina, what does that even mean? Why does Drew Barrymore always look like she's getting off the tail end of a hangover and has like, she's holding in her bowel movements? Look at that face. Go to that, Brian. Look at that face. She's always like, looks like she's scared and she doesn't know what's going on. And someone just, you know, told her what to say. That is cringe, right? Calling Kamala Mamala and asking the vice president to be your mother.
They're about to kiss, Elijah.
Yeah. That was like, I usually skip this part in the movies. You know what I mean? This is pretty good.
I mean, this feels like a movie. Everything that is happening, you see it in the movies. Now it's coming in real life. I think Hunter Biden might have had a conversation with Drew Barrymore to look like that.
Yeah, it's literally, it's what's strange to me is the complexity of like Vice President Harris and President Biden are so unlikable that rather than even talking about their policies and anything they've done for the country, they're saying that, you know, Kamala's like our mother. And
that's a mother that wants to kill babies. So how do you expect to have daughters and granddaughters if you want to kill them? You cannot be a mom.
That's true. Do you think that they're, on a random note, do you think that they're focusing, the Biden administration, is focusing so much on abortion because they failed in so many areas? They can't really point to what they've done. So they're trying to tell women, here's what we can do for you. Like, they're just trying to say, oh, well, let's talk about abortion. We'll get it back. But they can't really claim that they've done anything good for the country. Is that what it feels like over there the last couple of years? Because I haven't been back home for like over a year now.
Yes, and welcome back. They have weaponized young women and are telling them that it's okay to kill the babies. And now, have you seen Gavin Newsom's latest commercial? But basically he's saying that young women are going to be arrested as soon as they get caught having an abortion from Alabama. So they're being weaponized against themselves and they're believing that. And sadly, the thing is that us women, we get to have the biggest blessing in the world. We get to bring life into this world. Not men can do that. Not even Dilma Bainey. I know he mocks women, he dresses up as us, but that thing still has a penis.
Yeah, you know, he's a beautiful woman to his mother, probably. You know what I mean? At least she's probably likes him. I know that he's having a tough time dating, too. Dylan said that I don't even like to talk about him because he's so weird, but he's literally having a rough time finding a partner. And I was like wondering if maybe the difficulty is that most guys don't want a woman with a penis. So it's possible, yeah. Right?
100%.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm not into that myself. If I, you know, we like our women the old fashioned way, which is just with a vagina. It's like, it's pretty shocking. You mentioned Gavin Newsom and I wanted to play a video here. My brother-in-law had just went to San Francisco recently. And he told me, he goes, man, it is so bad recently in the last 2 years. It has gotten so bad since you left. You thought it was bad then. Wait till you see how bad it is now. Stores are closing down everywhere. I want to play this video of what's going on in California and talk about the situation and what that means for the rest of our country and where we're kind of headed as we go into the election. Brian, let's pull up this full screen and watch. These are stores closed down in San Francisco. All right, Valentina, I want to ask you your opinion. What is causing the decline of American cities, being that it seems like in every state, pretty much, maybe besides Florida, that the cities are declining? Even in Texas and Dallas, Dallas is just going way downhill. Austin is getting richer, but, you know, more homeless, more ghetto. What is causing this decline at such a catastrophic rate? And do you think it's intentional, or is this just due to negligence and retarded leaders?
Well, this is called electing DEI officials, people that are incompetent, that are negligent. Look at New York City. Look at Philadelphia, St. Louis, my own city, Chicago, and now San Francisco. It's going to keep happening all over the country if we don't do something about it. If we don't vote all of these DEI useless officials out of office, because all they've done is destroy our cities and drive them to the ground. Look at our cities now. Crime, fentanyl, homelessness. Now we're prioritizing illegal immigrants over our own veterans. So America has fallen, but we can still get back up.
Yeah. And I want to say that with you, because I know you're running in Missouri, and I want to make sure I can literally put up this video here. You're literally running in Missouri. Check this out. Here's Valentina right here running. And I thought this was actually pretty cool, because you're running marathons, you're healthy, you care about the country, you're going through the streets, meeting people, you're being great. But I also saw that you got some endorsements too from Matt Gaetz and stuff. So how's the race going, by the way? How is the progress being made? I know you told me that, you know, there are elites that don't want you in power because you love the country. There are people that want to stop you because they want to see our cities destroyed. Tell me a little bit about the campaign, those endorsements, and exactly what's going on, and who's doesn't want you in power, because I think that's why I wanted you on. I want people to know your face. I want them to know your name, and I want them to know to vote for you, because I like you a lot. I really appreciate your platform and your standard. I think you're a great addition right now. And I just want to hear you out. So tell us about how it's going.
Yes, absolutely. I love this country, and I will do whatever it takes to save it. This country welcomed me with open arms. I've worked hard to get to where I am. I own properties. I have a full-time job running a full-time campaign. And Elijah, I'm running a campaign that is unlike any other. I'm talking to the people. And I want to tell you this, and this is not news that I have actually published. I will be running across Missouri to talk about my election. So I'll be running from St. Louis City to Kansas City, from one extreme to the state to the next, because the people need to be aware that I will be willing to do whatever it takes. The people running against me, they beat me 1-1 in fundraising. And Elijah, this is a battle of David versus Goliath. Okay? They fear me because they cannot control me, because I don't owe anything to anyone. Those guys running against me, their allegiance is to their special interests. My allegiance is to the people, to the Constitution, and most importantly, to God. And yes, I am honored to have the endorsement of Matt Gaetz. He knows that I'm a warrior. He knows that I'm not compromised. And that's why he's supporting me instead of those corrupt guys that have sold Missouri out to their special interests, and most importantly, to China. So I want to be very clear on that. Just because they're running for the Republican Party doesn't mean that they represent conservatives or even Americans. Because once you sell your soul to them, you're no longer an American. You're a traitor. That's exactly what they are.
And, you know, one of the things I wanted to say with you is that I like the fact that you actually have fitness standards. Go to my screen here real fast, Brian. This was you. I think you were, I'm going to put on mute real fast. You were going to be doing a retweet for every squat or something like that. And fitness is real a part of this. I feel like we got to put a fitness test back into the country's requirements to be in politics. You got a lot of fat, lazy people who are, absolutely, you know, are too out of shape, but you're coming in young. You're coming in, you are fighting for the country. You are fit. How do you feel about that? How is your lifestyle, personal lifestyle with God and fitness, played a role in your desire to actually run into politics? And I want to ask you, because, you know, we've seen a lot of terrible men and women running in politics, right? I mean, it does not really matter from at this point. But to me, it's like, what the hell is wrong with the men in the world where women are having to step up to try to lead these states when everything's going to shit? So, like, how has your lifestyle impacted your choice to run and being fit? And how do you feel about that? And then also, you know, being a girl and being out there and going into politics, which is, of course, it's interesting, right? It's an interesting choice. It's interesting out there. People will attack you. How has that played a role with you as well?
Elijah, I put God first in everything that I do. And that's why I'm so strong. That's why I'm excellent. And that's why they fear me. Because I got God by my side. So if you are against me, that's okay. I'm coming for you and I'm going to obliterate you because you have sold the country out. You have sold God out. And Elijah, I want to incentivize young people to run for office because a lot of these guys, they should be running, not for office, but running literally. Okay? They are fat, they are ugly, and they need to get voted out. They have already sold themselves out. So let's start there. And Elijah, I am grateful to have the support of Missourians. I am leading in the polls. The election is on August 6th, on top of the ballot, and I am blessed to be able to be doing this.
That's absolutely excellent. Valentina, just to talk, if people want to find you, if they want to follow you, I thank you so much for your time, for being on the show, and for talking through these segments with me. It's been absolutely fantastic. I think it's great. Tell us where we can find you, where we can follow you. How can we support you and track with you on your journey? And by the way, she's a great follow on X, formerly known as Twitter. Let us know.
Of course, you can follow me at Valentina for SOS on X and on Instagram at Valentina for Missouri. And one last thing to all of these liberal women talking about President Trump, because I'm going to protect my president at all costs. So first of all, these are fat, ugly women that look just like Lizzo. They're saying that Trump is going to come back and grab them by the pussy. Nobody's going to grab you by the pussy. You're ugly, you're weak, and you like to kill babies. So let's start there. Thank you,
Amen.
Elijah.
Amen. Thank you so much for coming on, Valentina. Valentina Gomez, you can follow her, find her, and support her. You're welcome on the show anytime. When I'm back in America, we'll have to do something in person, too. Maybe a sit down on some of the events or see what's going on in Missouri. You have my support. My endorsement doesn't matter because I'm not in Missouri, but you got my endorsement. And thank you so much all from all of us here at Slightly Offensive. Have a great rest of the night.
Thank you so much, Elijah. We'll go shooting, and I'll come down to Florida. Or you can
that would be absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
God bless you. Bye.
God bless you. Bye. All right. Valentina Gomez, make sure that you find her, that you follow her, that you support her as we get into the next segment. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive as we go into this. We're going to be talking a little more about the protests. We're going to be discussing what's going on. As you know, the elections are coming up. So I want to have some people running for office that I think are doing good work. And unfortunately, you know, like I say, typically I don't really believe that women are the best to run for positions of leadership and to run in politics, typically. But in our country, nobody is good, actually, anymore. The men aren't good either. Everyone sucks dick. Literally, the whole entire political class is terrible. So right now, I want to find MAGA candidates, people who are fighting their best, and we want to showcase them and bring them to the forefront. And she's doing a good job. She's young. She's growing a lot. She's going to learn a lot as she gets into politics. And so we want to support our people as they go out there. You know what I mean? Because she's putting her reputation, her life on the line. The elites are attacking her. I know about that. All right. So support her. And just know, I'm just going to try to only find good people as we go forward on that. I've been gone for a little bit. Let's transition here a little bit. I've been gone for a while. You know, I was like on a break. I was traveling. I was around. I'm going to be after today on like a, I'm not going to be back for like another week doing a show because but I'm going to be on some really big shows. So I'm just letting you guys know to keep track of the channel and my Twitter and my Instagram because I'm like going on really, really big shows over the next week. And that's kind of what I'm focusing on. And then my other stuff. So that's what it is. So let's talk about some insanity here. Okay. There is this story. We gotta talk about the blacks. Okay. So there's this story about these four teens. I'm sorry. My smoke alarm is apparently out as well in my house here. So this football star, he was a beloved student at his high school, and he was killed by police tragically. He was just a good little boy, just a nice little teen. He was just a little baby, and I'm not mocking his death. I'm not. But that's what the media told me. In the last day, he was just a little boy. He was just a little baby. And I went, you know, so the police just went and killed a black guy. It's an election year. Why am I covering this? Because it's an election year and the media is trying to stoke a race war with blacks and whites again. So an unarmed black teen football star was murdered by police. I went, okay. All right. Let's look into this story and see if that's really what happened. So apparently the police used a pit maneuver on his car, they said. And I go, pit maneuver? That's really weird. And then it wrapped around a pole, killed three other passengers. So killed four beloved teenagers. And I went, that doesn't make any sense. Because if the car is that mangled, which is clearly fatal, then that means they were going really fast. Well, as I looked into the details, turns out, yes, they were driving 111 miles per hour, which for those who are Aussie is like maybe 150 or 160 K. I don't know. I go, wait, so they were speeding and then a cop did a pit maneuver. So then they were being chased, right? Well, I didn't look much more into it. I go, oh man, this has got to be something crazy. Colin Rugg posted, obviously, the report here. Check this out.
We are confirming that four Newberry High School students are dead after a crash during a high-speed chase.
Okay, so I love how the news names this. Four high school students are dead after a crash after a high-speed chase. The story gets so bad as we get into this. Just keep watching.
Bradford County Sheriff's deputies say last week a car was stolen in Gainesville and the theft was possibly connected to the homicide case. The stolen car was later involved in a high-speed chase that started in Bradford County and ended in Alachua County. A state trooper used a ramming technique, and the car rolled over and hit a pole. There were four young teens in the car between the ages of 14 and 16. Two of the teens died at the scene. The other two were taken to the hospital. Newberry Mayor Jordan Marlowe confirms the two who were taken to the hospital have since died. Of the four teens in the car, two had on an ankle monitor, three had active warrants.
Oh, that is like a little detail that you should have put at the front of your story there, buddy. Okay? They're just a couple high school students. Just a couple high school students, huh? Exactly. But Colin Rugg pointed out, if you missed the details, they were actually wearing ski masks after they stole a car, got into a high-speed chase with law enforcement who hit their car. Now, the car was mangled. This is not important. Basically, the two died at the scene. Two died at the hospital. One of the boy's brothers was shot and killed in a separate incident last month. Apparently, also, yeah, as it said, two of the teens had ankle monitors on and three had active warrants.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Can you? Yeah. Can you understand what is going on here with this stuff? And this is why I hate the media, and you always know. It's like they tried so hard for like 6 hours to spin this as teenagers wrapping themselves around a pole. But damn well straight, we know that that's not what occurred, right? This is definitely not what happened. And they had ankle monitors on and warrants. A lot of people realize we can't really live with these people, you know? They're not, not only do I not feel bad for them, I've woken up in the last several years to such an extent that I don't even want to live with these people. Who are these people? I'll tell you who they are. Who are they? Let me go to my screen here real fast. Who are the people that I don't want to live around anymore? This is who they are. Check this out. I'm talking particularly about bullies. Photo shows a disturbing moment that a bully knocks New York City grandma unconscious in a vicious sneak attack. Do you hate bullies? I hate bullies. I tweeted out directly, watch out for bullies. One of them stole my car in LA. It's true. Those freaking bullies. We've got to stop the bullies. The bullies are just, they're causing problems in every city they go to, in every place, in every city. The bullies are out. I want to give a huge shout out to one of our sponsors for today. Look, I know a lot of you guys know we can't control rising crime and the things that are going on there, But as many of you know, one thing that's very important to me is actually taking care of our testosterone and getting those levels up. There's a lot of reasons. I had the doctor on who actually designed this product the other day, but you know, you can go watch the interview. It's really fantastic. I wanted to talk to him about it, about testosterone and the things going on. Basically, if you're feeling drained as a guy, you're experiencing unwanted weight gain, maybe you're simply lacking energy, right now you can get Man's Edge from Neutronics Labs. Now, this is the ultimate solution for low testosterone. With powerful ingredients like fenugreek, NO2, and IGF-1, Man's Edge offers a whopping 46% increase in testosterone levels. Buy one bottle and get any IGF-1 product free with AutoShip, saving you an amazing 50%. Right now, go to tboostnow.com, T-B-O-O-S-T-N-O-W.com. Use my promo code SLIGHTLYOFFENSIVE today, and you can save up to 50% off. Now, when we first did the ads for like 2 weeks, they didn't give us a promo code. I didn't even know that we had one. But the code is slightly offensive, and you've got to use it. You've got to check it out, because that's the reality. You got to get your testosterone levels up. Don't be weak. Don't be a loser. Use this consistently and you can get it today. All right. I want to talk about some of this stuff. So, okay. Listen, guys. No gooning in the chat. All right. Somebody said I look very Jewish today. It's because it's called a wide angle lens. Do you know what that means? It means I have a fisheye lens. If I go back, then I'm actually getting ripped. I'm like, so I have to wear bigger t-shirts and stuff. I'm like having to wear like bigger t-shirts. I had to buy baggier pants, man. I can't fit in my clothes because I got to get ready to fight the bullies. You know what I mean? I got to fight the bullies. Guys, and to some of you guys that were in the comments saying he's going full Con Inc. Again, no. And also, by the way, someone is mentioning about my haircut that I finally found an American barber. The truth is I actually did find a good barber. She's never available. I went to some bad barbers in between. She's a sweetheart. Her entire business got destroyed in the floods here in New South Wales in the Northern Rivers. We had a big flood. I don't know if you know about that. Killed tons of people and destroyed like the entire city a couple years ago during COVID. That was the same flood that my father-in-law tried to rescue people, because he is an old, he's a retired army engineer, and they wouldn't let him help rescue victims because he wasn't vaccinated from COVID. So they wouldn't let him rescue trapped flood victims because he wasn't vaccinated. That was a real story, believe me. No, but she had her whole place destroyed. So she's actually like a really good salonist, and she is like the coolest person. And I gave her like a $60 tip because I was so grateful for this haircut. Back to having like a nice haircut. Look at that. Look at that. Hell yeah. But that's where it is. Someone said, literally nobody cares. Hey, the Michael, fuck you. People do care. I have been gone and we're just talking and hanging out tonight. Just going over shit. Okay. And yes, that happened in Australia. So yeah. All right. Do you guys want to talk more about the protests and get like my real opinions on the protests? Do you want to like actually go into that? Or do you want to go into other stuff? Because I have some pretty strong opinions and some things on that, but we can just forget that for another day. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we can forget it if we like to. Okay, let's go into the real thing with the protests here, because like, okay. So we're having this police intervention, right? I saw this video. Go to my screen here, Brian. There's DPS troopers, right? So we're seeing this police presence on college campuses, and these are like state troopers, like federal police level in riot gear, or at least county sheriff's departments on these college campuses. And honestly, this idea that anti-Semitism is on the rise and that we need to be, you know, worried about anti-Semitism is absolutely bullshit. There is nobody in America more protected by laws that are illegal, by the way, anti-constitutional laws, than Jewish people. And these definitions that have been passed from South Dakota to Texas to Florida about the adopting the official language of making anti-Semitism not welcome in their state, it's fucking bullshit. And I'll just straight up say it's because Zionists control our politicians. They absolutely control them. Does anybody know how AI PAC works? Do you know how it works? I work in politics and I work around a lot of politicians, and most of them are bought out by AI PAC, or APAC as they call it. Does anybody want to know a little understanding? I said I would explain it one time and go over the financials of how APAC takes control of politicians and why they're so loyal to them. And it's not as complicated as some people think, but I actually just have worked around these people and I've asked them, how does it work? And then they tell me, here's why I'm loyal to Israel. Here's like the back end, right? Does anyone want to hear that? Maybe you guys know it. I'm just going to wait in the chats. One's if you want to talk about why this is such a big deal and why the politicians are so loyal to Israel. Does anyone want to talk about that? Yes. One's in the chat for yes. Two's in the chats for no. We don't need to talk about it if you want to move on. But I'm going with the chat today. So, all right. All right, so here's how it works. So let's just say that I am a politician and I believe in myself and I talk to somebody, because you need to keep the human element in this, right? It's not all corruption. So I want to run for office. I feel like I can change America. I can do something. I'm pretty decently looking. I have good energy. But the problem is I need to raise money, because I'm running a campaign and everyone's got a lot of money in America. They're running campaign ads. They're doing propaganda. They're passing out flyers, paying callers, canvassers. It's very expensive to run an election in the United States. It shouldn't be, but it is. And so I go, I'm already a little bit connected, and I go into some fundraisers, and I've been to those myself. Like, you go to Mar-a-Lago and you end up getting drinks with somebody that works for APAC, the lobbyist. And you talk about what you want to do and you talk about how you're doing, and they tell you, hey, you should run. And you don't really think much of it. So you run for office, you fill out your campaign forms, you raise enough money, $10,000 maybe from your mom or something, and you start your campaign. Well, you have a campaign manager, and you're pretty much fucked. Then one day APAC calls you and says, hey, we really like your position on helping Florida stop looting. Gosh, we just hate looters. You're really doing a good job. We believe in you. This is why it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. They just have nuanced opinions. And they go, oh, okay. So do you want, we want to help you win. So we actually called your campaign manager and we are going to deposit some money to help you to get some television ads. And you're like, no way. So your campaign manager calls you, you're out there, you have $175,000, that gets deposited into your account. Now you can get canvassers. You can get all of these things. You go, oh my gosh, I can literally hire somebody. I can even hire a new campaign manager. I can get a new team. So now you're started. You literally only have a chance because APAC believed in you. Remember that, kids. That's the key phrase that AI PAC uses. We've believed in you since the start. So your campaign owes them money initially. This is why people say, APAC, they've donated over $200,000 to this person. It matters about the timing of the donation, not the amount. If they are cash poor, their campaign, or they need money, and that's not even the start of it. That's not even the end of it. That's the start of it. So you get your campaign running, and the point is that they're lobbyists. So obviously they'll give you more money as you guarantee them more of a say-so at the table of certain ideas. And APAC will do this for everyone. They will fund politicians that are fighting against each other. They fund everybody. So basically, no matter who wins, they're loyal to this lobbying group. Not necessarily to Israel, but to a lobbying group, which is legal. And the lobbying group will also take you to nice dinners. They'll buy you nice gifts. You can't receive gifts, but your kids might, your wife might. So now you're getting into the six figures of donations, okay? Now, I've seen black people shoot people over a pair of Nikes. So people commit crimes and betray each other over the smallest of things. But it also goes to here too. So then you ask yourself, well, really? People are selling our country out for $200,000? The short answer is yes. The complicated answer is they're getting a lot more than $200,000. A lot more. Okay? Like a ton more. Because there's a complicated horizontal nature to AIPAC that people don't realize in politics. I can speak really well with politicians. I can sit in rooms with them. I can advise them. You know, I'm not going to name people by names. I'll go to dinner with some of them sometimes to give them consulting advice to help court the dissident right, etc. But number one, the lobbyists also lobby more powerful and senior members of Congress to basically make sure and whip people in line for the ideas. So like they don't really have to pay everyone millions of dollars to really compromise. They just have to pay some politicians in the millions. And then those politicians will sort of create the legislation and they'll whip the votes of the younger and less senior and less qualified members or people that are taking less money from Israel. So you don't really have to buy out the whole Congress, but you do have about 70% of Congress completely bought out by AIPAC, which is a 3/4 majority. So anything that is about Israel's interests will pretty much unilaterally get passed 100% of the time. I think AIPAC says 98% of the time. Now, going even further, ask yourself this. How do politicians get so rich while they're running in office? Well, it's not really just because they're, you know, amazing people or they're all insider trading. People always talk about the stock market like it's some thing that, like, you know, everybody's Nancy Pelosi and like making trades and selling options and shorting stocks, things that a lot of you probably don't even understand, that I don't even understand because I'm retarded. A lot of these AIPAC lobbyists are connected to hedge funds and investment groups that essentially will also assist politicians in directly investing their money and also in directly financing their companies, right? And their brands. So a lot of these politicians will also subsequently make millions to hundreds of millions of dollars over the course of their tenure. And they can continue investing because they're getting more money from AIPAC. They're getting more money from donors. And what happens is it's not just AIPAC. This is the secret sauce, okay? It's not just AIPAC that donates to their campaign. It's not just the access to the hedge funds and the investment bankers, the investment groups. They also have these small donation campaigns where, like, I don't know what the max is anymore in the country. Maybe they're maxing out at like $1,000 to $2,000. Is that right for private donation? Maybe it's a lot less. Maybe it's hundreds of dollars now. But what I do know they do is they'll get like 300 people, random people, to donate to your campaign, like $100,000 when you need it for like a campaign ad. And like the same person will donate the maximum contribution like 20 times. And so it kind of goes undetected, but they have this army of like small investors. I don't even know how they organize it, but I do know, and I've seen the receipts here on this, on campaign finance, I've studied this deeply. They'll get a bunch of people at once to donate. So it's not really, you're getting it from a lobbying group directly. So you're not violating any campaign finance laws. You're not really getting it from one donor. So you're not raising any flags and you're not really paying for it out of pocket, which you could pay for it with the money that they've helped you earn. You're getting it from hundreds of these small donors, which equals hundreds of thousands of dollars in election cycle. So it's basically, they have these people by the wallet, you know, the purse, right? So they have them directly by the balls, for a lack of better words. Why are people one for toast, two for what the hell? All right, you guys in the chat are crazy. You know, I miss being around you guys. I feel kind of bad that I haven't made shows in a week. Again, it's been impossible for me to make them. I've been traveling, I'm very tired. And my studio is out of commission, so I'm in my home studio primarily because I left my satellite internet box, my Starlink thingamajigger, down in the Canberra, in the ACT, in the capital of Australia, and I need to get it back. So that's just the truth. Okay, so does that make sense to you guys about how Israeli influence has so much power in people's pockets? To repeat myself, they obviously buy out politicians very early on, and they help believe in you when no one believes in you. So there's an emotional connection. Plus the cash actually does, like, you owe them your career, literally. Then they do inject money into your campaign, usually every year. They have nice gifts. That's all that. But it doesn't make sense, right? That like 50 grand that people sell out for that. But I said that, you know, they might give some people less money, but they give senior officials a lot more money, and they whip the younger people. So there's that corner of the pie. They whip the votes. But then again, like I said, they also give you access privately into financial advice, groups, and investments that allow you to profit, which is usually millions to hundreds of millions of dollars over the course of your life. So it's a guaranteed financial success. And three, they have these small contribution, mini campaigns where they give money to your campaign. It looks like it's natural and just small donors, but it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. Does that make sense, you guys? Yes. Everyone in the chat's just saying dildos for penis and blood in, blood out. I can't. Yeah. So you guys are just not. Yeah. Okay. You guys need to pledge yourself to Jesus. I go with Cheetah Heyman too. All right. Let's look at a little more of this. So let's go back to the protests here. Here it was. I don't like leftists. And I think that these are just leftist, you know, but I also really don't like Zionists either. And so I'm happy that there's pressure being put on Zionists, but I hope this reminds you of who's in control and who's in power, because they should not be allowing this show of force. It's disgusting. And watching Republicans like it, you know, someone from my team posted something on Instagram that I took down because, like, there was this cop that tackled this protester, and he didn't even say that we support the police. He was just like, oh, what a crazy takedown. Like, something to the aside of like, oh, this guy should get drafted for the NFL. And I was thinking in my head, dude, I'm going to delete that, man. Let's not talk like that on the internet, because the police are wrong here. These people are not violent. They're dumb. And I could understand arrests for like illegal camping on a private campus, right? But if it's a public campus, do these people allow protesting for literally everything? Okay, these people have protested everything. Donald Trump, they protest whiteness, they protest straightness, and they have camps everywhere for every retarded thing under the sun. And you don't see the police crack down. But when it has to do with anti-Semitism, it is, of course, cracked down upon. Because why? Because Zionists control the politicians control the police, and the police take orders. Not all police are bad. I don't actually agree with that take that all police are bad, but it is what it is. These police are definitely dumb. And then I see like people taking these based takes, like J.D. Vance and Blake Masters, you know, like it's this sort of cringy America First stance where it's like, oh, well, I'm only against Hamas because I'm America First. And you're like, these kids are not Hamas. You're a retard. Stop. I like Blake and JD too. I like them a lot. Don't get me wrong. I really like them. And I like Trump. I just don't understand how you can sell yourself out to these people. It just makes me sick, man. It makes me sick. And it's the party that I support, unfortunately. So it is what it is. If you're watching on YouTube and X, we're going to be getting into some more stuff that we're going to be talking about only on Rumble and Censored TV. Don't forget, guys, to support the show directly at censored.tv, promo code offensive. You guys have been signing up. I'm really happy. I think in 2 weeks or maybe this week, I don't know. I got to ask Ron. We're going to do a part two talking about Israeli influence in post-World War II and Zionism and the, the Cold War and the shift of power in the United States, the UN. We're going to get into a part two of our history lesson that we're going to be talking about. If you guys watched that, it was absolutely mind blowing. But we're going to do the rest of the show at, let me see, go here. Yes. Brian, can bring up my screen real fast. for the rest of the show only on Locals, Rumble, and on Censored TV. I don't think anyone sent any super chats here. We'll read the rest later, but if you guys are in there, don't mind me. I'm just like about to hop on a plane in a couple hours, so I'm like really tired and I'm packing and just a lot. Just been a lot going on my end. And little baby E got bitten by like 30 mozzies at his grandma's house. And so he looks like he has chicken pox. Poor little guy. Just the cutest little soul. And we got some matching clothes. Kez got us some matching pajamas, bear pajamas. Our pants are matching. So we got little pajamas. But also, heads up too, it should be working. I'll be doing a street video coming up too. The gang is getting back together. So I'm really excited for what's happening. Anyway, let me know your thoughts and opinions below on this. I'll see you over at Rumble. Brian has said, I know by popular demand, that one of you guys have made another song that wanted it played as we transition. So I'm going to go grab some water and we'll be back after the song plays. Brian, you can go ahead and cue the song and we'll see you over at Censored Locals and on rumble.com/slightlyoffensive. See you there.
The media has changed. But we are not insane.
No, no, no.
We can see the game.
Yeah.
And we know who is to blame.
Yeah.
The media has changed.
Yeah.
But we are not insane.
No, no, no.
We can see the game.
Yeah. And we know who is to blame.
Hush, hush, in their wordy swirl. Urban tales, they softly tread. But we're not scared to say what's said.
We'll tell it all, yes, everywhere.
Thugging in a city, haven't you heard?
On Slightly Offensive, we speak so plain. Black or white, we explain the game.
Tiptoe the line, missing the truth time after time. But we step up bold and true, words unfiltered straight to you.
We'll tell it all, yes, everywhere.
Talking in a city, haven't you heard?
On Slightly Offensive, we speak so plain. Black or white, we explain the game.
Catch the headlines, read between what they say and what they mean. We lay it down, no smoke and mirrors. Clarity's king, no need for error.
We'll tell it all, yes, every word.
Talking in a city, haven't you heard?
On Slightly Offensive, we speak so plain. Black or white, we explain the game. On Slightly, oh,
yeah.
On Slightly, Offensive.
We say it all.
On Slightly, Offensive.
Whoa.
On Slightly, Offensive.
We are having a ball.
For that one, shout out. I'm very excited about this. Let's talk some more about this. All right, so I just don't agree with Trump on this. I don't agree with anyone on this in my party. I don't even know if it's my party. I don't even like anyone anymore. I don't even like politics. I hate it. So let's also talk about I wanted to talk about Black excellence. Check this out. This scared me. This doctor, they've, you know, there's all this DEI stuff going on. Check this out.
I'm in the business of misery. Let's take it from the top. She's got a-
so this black chick had 5 C's and a 3.3 GPA. got accepted to 6 MDs, allopathic medicines, and 4 DOs, osteopathic or, medicine. That's not good. Our medical doctors are, if you get someone who's not white, I would be afraid if they're not white or like Asian and not Indian, but like Indians are pretty educated in America, I think, because they're very racist, right? So they send their top quality people. But I'm so tired of working with Indians and stuff on the phone. I'm traveling, so I booked this hotel. It's a nice hotel too for my crew. And because we're traveling together, and I decided that we're going on this other show. So they flew me into the wrong city. So I was like, okay, I'm going to cancel the hotel because this is a lot of money to pay for multiple people to be staying at this hotel for a few days, which is a good business decision. And they're like, sorry, sir, cannot, on the travel agent's like, cannot help you, sir. This is no refund. I'm like, dude, you're not even in America. Shut up. I fucking want to talk to an American. I cannot help you, sir. I said, call the hotel. Okay, so we call the hotel. It's a fucking Packy and a Jeet. So I'm talking to a Jeet, and we got a Packy at the hotel. And then they say, the person who can do refund does not come until Saturday. I'm going, no, that you're lying. It's Monday. What do you mean they don't come until Saturday? So it's my fault because you don't have anyone in the, like, basically an American white guy working in the building that can help with my refund. I need a refund before then. And I've sat there. I'm like, why am I working with Pajits and Packies to get a refund on a hotel? And they can't, the problem with these people, and this is what I was going to say. It's not that I'm racist, which is not even bad to be racist. It's not a bad thing to be racist. Racism is a tool that our ancestors used to protect their civilization. Being anti-racist today makes you a faggot. You know what I mean? It just makes you gay. Doesn't mean you like boys. It just makes you a faggot. It's ridiculous. So the anti-racist, you know, crowd, and they keep quoting me in these articles, by the way. Elijah Schaefer says racism's a good thing. Win, go ahead. I don't like, what are you pointing out? It was a tool they used to notice differences. And we're going to look at a story that has to do with this. But the problem with the Pajits and the Packies, and we're talking about not Americans, like they're actually like, you know, H-1Bs or whatever, is they, not only do they only hire each other, so they actually learn how to outcompete white people in their own countries, but they just follow orders and they don't have like conceptual thinking. Like when I talk to a white person and I'm like, hey, could you help me get a refund? I'd be like, hey, someone's not in. I'll go ahead and put a note on your account and we'll give you a tentative refund now. We'll put a hold on your card and then I'll process it when they come in. There's nothing like that. It's just like, sorry, sir, cannot help you, sir. I do not know, sir. And you're going, dude, why are we in Western excellence accepting this as a part of our life? It's just insane. Nothing makes me angrier than working with customer service. It's like customer torture. It's like, I feel like I'm being violated. I feel like I'm getting my balls squished, which maybe I'd like it. So I guess that's the wrong, you know, feedback. But I can't be the only person who just gets so annoyed with these people. Anyway, it's like, it's just actually pretty, pretty ridiculous. So a city started doing something about this. Check this out. This is pretty crazy. Let's talk about some wins. So basically, there's this story here. Check this out. Daily Mail reported directly that a wealthy white Louisiana residents win the right to split from poor black neighborhoods in the landmark court ruling after a 10-year battle. This is absolutely insane. So wealthy white Louisiana residents, there's basically this, let me see if there's, I like what 9mm SMG said. He said, no one is owed fair and equal access to whites, the same as no one is owed fair and equal access to blacks. Why was this ever up for debate? It's funny because we argue a lot about black slavery being wrong. No one talks about white slavery, which is what we're dealing with today, where we're forced to work. We have to pay taxes because we have to work to live. But then we get taxed in our income so that we can pay for wars, but also domestically for people to live that can't afford themselves. And it's not our own people. It's minorities. And minorities always go, oh, well, there's more. The most people on welfare are whites. And good that we're taking care of our own. But they don't understand per capita. It's like a the theory of relativity, explaining that to these people. you know, and who am I talking about? I'm talking about bullies, right? When you're explaining this stuff, if you've been tracking the show, they said that we call these people bullies. I think what I'm noticing here is basically they have this town, right? And it's called St. George now. And people are saying, oh, let's look at the story. It's actually pretty interesting. Check this out. St. George will have 86,000 residents. Whoa, talk about advertisements. Holy shiest. St. George will have 86,000 residents across a 60-square-mile area. Critics of the new city say the plan is racist and will create a white enclave. Baton Rouge residents fear move will be economically devastating for their city. Wealthy white Baton Rouge residents have won a decade-long court battle to split from poor neighborhoods and form their own city with plans for better schools and less crime. The Louisiana Supreme Court ruled on Friday that the new city of St. George could move forward with incorporation, splitting off from the rest of Baton Rouge. St. George will have 86,000 residents across a 60-square-mile area in the southeast of East Baton Rouge Parish. Supporters of the new city say the existing city parish government is poorly run with high crime rates and bad schools. Opponents say the movement is racist and will create a white enclave as it separates a wealthy area of the city from the majority black city. When I told Kez about this, my wife, she was like clapping. She was like, good for them. Good for them. I don't want to live around these people anymore. Who are these people? Teenagers. I don't want to live around teenagers anymore. It's just like, I'm tired of pretending like these people don't suck ass. Like, they just do. And so it's like, it's not racist. Cause it's like, I mean, look, I just have some Hispanic woman named Valentina. Very cool girl. I'd be happy to link up in the US. I don't mind if you got an accent. I don't mind if you speak another language, whatever. Right? Freaking the number one white nationalist in America. His last name's Fuentes, they say, right? That's what they say. I'm not saying he's a white nationalist. I'm saying that's what they say. So, you know, we have a very diverse movement. But, dude, let's just be completely honest. Like, white people have the right to live in our own lands. And when white people are together, it is better. It's just better, okay? It's just better. Because, you know, I've lived around Indian people, and they're not bad to live around, but they just stink. You know what I mean? They smell like poop. They smell like poop. They do. They do. Not all of them, though. By the way, I've met some really nice Indians. I like a lot of Indians. If you're Indian, I like you. But you know Indians smell like poop. Like they just kind of do. And I don't know why, right? Indians use deodorant challenge? Impossible. And I'm not even trying to be vitriolic here. I'm just being honest here about like my opinions on this stuff. But you see this, like they're leading the charge here. Here's the leader of the anti-St. George group, M.E. Cormier, told the New York Times, there is no basis in the fact the existence of St. George is positive or will bring positivity or have positive impact on any areas of the cities or parish. What she's saying by positive impact is, we cannot steal their tax revenue to run schools that they don't even send their kids to because they're run by a DEI government that elects black people that suck. Do you know how much I always look at the demographics of the cities that I live in, and I can't be the only one. I always look at the demographics of where I live. Where I live now, let me see. I'm not going to tell you where I live, but let me see this. Let me see this. Where is this? Yeah, okay. So we're a proper white area. Do you know what the top five ethnic groups in the city where I live are? Listen to this. It's broken down by actual country, how it should be. It says here on the government website, it's 40% English ancestry, 30.7% Australian, 10.4% Irish, 10% Scottish. So basically convict versus English. I think that's what it is. I think Australian is convict and English is colonies. Maybe I'm wrong. And 4.7% German and 10% Scottish. So this area, 70, 80, 90, 91.3 is 92% white. And that's not including even English because, oh shit. because it's also got 7.1% New Zealand. Okay, so we're like 98.9% white where I live, and like 1% Aboriginal. That sounds right. Yeah, I like that's why I moved here. It's like I haven't seen a black person in the city in like, I don't think I've seen one. I think I saw one time, and she was from like Barbados or something. She was on vacation because I live in a beach resort town. Like beautiful. Like, I mean, I'm talking about like fantastic. It's Australia's got nice beaches, but I live in like one of the last, white enclaves in Australia, because all the other major cities, maybe besides Perth, have just become like Indian. It's really sad.
That's great.
So yeah. And so it's peaceful out here. You know, you can leave your home unlocked. We don't have locks on our lockers. We just use cubbies. Like it's all the gyms are 24 hours. There's no one at the front. You just walk in and out. There's, you know, the stores are clean. There's not a lot of trash. There's not a lot of drug use. There's a couple homeless people because of the housing crisis. But they're just, you know, they're just mostly high. We do have Aboriginals that commit crimes in the city, though. They do. And it's crazy. 1% of the population probably commits like 30 to 40% of the crime. I'm not joking. We have like two Aboriginal families that live by me, and their houses are just like, look like shit. And this is a rich neighborhood too. Everywhere in Australia is rich, actually, because it's like one of the most expensive. Everything's like a couple million bucks, right? Everything in this area. I don't own anything, so I'm not as rich as these people, but like, I'm poor. I get paid in gum still. I still make $11 a week. That's what I'm living off of. I'm an Aboriginal. I'm living off of petrol, the Rama Rama, you know what I mean? But I'm living in a white area, and it's just better, man. It's just way better. We had a car show, and there was no police. Like a car show with like 100,000 people came to the area. No police anywhere. No shootings, no stabbings. It's like unheard of in the U.S., and why? Because there's no black people around. Really, truly. Hispanics, I like a lot of Hispanic people. Like, I have a lot of friends who are Hispanic. I just had an Hispanic on the show. But, like, Hispanics have a crime problem, too, and, like, a ghetto problem they need to figure out. And, yeah, and people say, what about Appalachia? What about poor whites? Sure, but you're not living in Appalachia. And the thing is white people aren't defending, you know, and there's a lot of great people in Appalachia. It's just a place hit by economic hardship. It's different. But... yeah, it sounds like the city I need. No, dude, trust me. They're Australia's bringing in 125,000 people a month now in a nation of like 27 million. And like 3/4 of them are from India and China. And Hinduism is the fastest growing religion in Australia now. This country is not a place you want to live in. It's not. It's going downhill. I just live in the white area because I chose to live here, because all the white people are migrating northeast. Into Queensland, and that's basically where it's the most beautiful part of Australia too. It's where the coral reefs are. That's where Crocodile Hunter's Zoo is, right? So it's, may he rest in peace, seriously. But it's just insane. So they built their own enclave, and I get it, man. That's why someone like, you know, let me go to my Twitter here. So check this out. So it's like, the reason why I know that my ideas are not unpopular and that people agree with me is because it's like, we're almost at 700K now on Twitter and just keep growing. And I think I'm like the most vitriolic on Twitter. All they do is just speak my mind, like literally all the time. And I got a shout out to Vigilant Fox down here. Vigilant Fox actually gave me a shout out and I was really happy. If you don't know Vigilant Fox, you should be following him. It's absolutely amazing. Oh yeah. Don't forget. I have a show on Gateway Pundit as well. And I got a show. We do show with Vigilant News. See, I have these news reports that I do every day, which are really cool. And I'm really happy about where is this? Let me go down. I guess. Well, oh yeah, here it is. Look at this. He gave me a shout out and I liked his description. He was like, Elijah is an outspoken journalist and broadcaster who focuses on politics and culture war issues. With Elijah, one thing is certain. He tells you what he really thinks, a quality that has become all too rare these days. I don't think everyone who watches this show or follows me online agrees with everything I say. But I will say this. It is funny because at least they can say I'm saying what I think. A couple of the comments on here, I got like quite a bit of criticism. Someone was like, Elijah's mostly good, but he's kind of emotional like a woman, which is fair. That's kind of true, actually. Fair assessment. You know what I mean? So that's just the truth. So that's absolutely good. Someone said, click on Elijah's live. And I don't know why we're going down here. Let's talk about some more stories then and go into some other things and get into some better news that's going on. Listen to this. We're going to talk about some funny things that is going on. Dude, this guy, speaking of the devil, we're talking about these people. Check this out. He couldn't comprehend time. Listen to this.
The audio is muted, bro.
Is it quiet? Is it not making noise? Hello, Brian? Brian?
No, the channel is muted. Unmute the channel there.
It's stopped. Well, you've got to tell me this before we play a video for like 10 seconds. Let me see. It's not muted. It's just stopped working. Okay, there you go. We got to tell me that. All right, listen to this. That was kind of funny. Just quiet, me drinking water. Interesting.
People that say it's a quarter till this time, that shit has always angered me.
Why?
That's some of those.
Okay, what's I didn't learn this till this year. A quarter doesn't mean 25 minutes. It's a quarter past 9:25.
Completely wrong.
What is it? So it's 15?
Correct.
What? Tell me how does that make sense? Explain that to me.
Because you're thinking straight to currency.
Yes.
A quarter is a fourth. That's all a quarter is.
Well, okay.
A quarter is a fourth of anything. It's a fourth of anything. Don't think of the actual.
I don't understand itself. That.
A fourth. A quarter of 10 is 2.5.
It's 2.5, 25. Where is this 15 coming? Yeah, where is 15 coming
60.
From?
60. An hour is 60 minutes. So okay. If you break it into fourths, a quarter
25,
is 15.
50. When did we start speaking in currency? Like, when we're saying it's $1.30 until 18? What am I supposed to, like, it's $1.30 till noon? Who are we?
It's $1.30 till 18. If you fused currency and military time, people are going to think you just walked out of a spaceship.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's a lot of our country. It is kind of funny, though. It's kind of funny that it's people would say, oh, it's because he's an athlete. You know, he's like a basketball player. Well, the other guy looked like he was an athlete, too. And he seemed to know what a quarter meant. These people are like, that's why I shout out to St. George. We should get St. George. Is that what it was? Was that what we're calling it? Let me see. Yeah, St. George. I know there's a St. George, Utah. Here's the family that spearheaded it, right? Look at this guy. This is the guy that spearheaded it. Campaign leader Norman Boeing, pictured with his family, told the New York... what the hell? Those better be his grandkids, because that woman's way too old to be popping out babies. There's no way. Or I'm going to retake my entire speech. So what it was is like, yeah, this is fantastic. So these are the people that want to protect the city. This is the fat, ugly bitch.
Oh, excuse me, but black people add so much to our society.
Yeah, a lot of crime and complaining. I used to be subtle about this stuff. I don't know, chat. You tell me. Did you prefer me in the Con Inc. kosher days where I would get invited on all the, you know, news shows and stuff, you know, just speaking, you know, around, dipping around, talking about nonsense? Or do you prefer the more just blunt, we're talking about things today, you know, straight up, we're naming them, we're calling her a fat, ugly bitch. We are discussing the fact that we can't live with these people. Because this is really what I felt for years, and I just couldn't say it because I was literally contractually unallowed to get in trouble. You know what I mean? Like, that's just what happened. So I don't know. I can always go back to that if you'd prefer. Some of you in the beginning were a little scared there. You're like, is he going back to his conning days? Is he going back? No. No, I'm not. Also, I'm still, I want to find, I I have this goal with Kes. We're expanding our family, but I'm trying to get her sister to live with us so I can get Kes back on shows, because what I need is an au pair. I need a nanny. Like, but I don't want to, but we're not going to leave our kids with anyone, because, you know, it's just like, we're just not going to do that. Right. That's the problem, is like, besides her grandma, her sister, like, or my sisters, but like, we're not leaving the babies with anybody or anything like that as we get, you know, whatever happens. So I think the reality is we are going to need to get someone, because I need Kes back on the show to laugh at some things, because she is so savage and so much more blunt than me about all these things.
That's a huge bitch.
Yeah, exactly. So she knows what's going on. By the way, get yourself a girl who's just as racist as you are. That's the key thing. Get yourself a racist woman that's sweet and kind and a virgin and lovely, but also knows what's up, right? That's what you want. That's what you need. Let me see what you guys said. I didn't see what you guys said. Go hardcore. Dark Elijah's better. It was a fun time, but Dark Elijah's better. We're really going in on Dark Elijah. Is the chat racist? Yes, the chat is racist. Everyone is my son's at the door. All right. Brian is getting trigger happy with that. All right, let's talk about some other stuff. So that guy couldn't. Now, oh, okay, so let's also go into this. So how many of you guys in the chat have children and know what Bluey is? So Bluey is a children's show, and I think it's way more popular in the US than it is here in Australia. It's an Australian children's show. We do not allow our son to watch it because there's a queer couple in there. And I know it's shocking that, like, my wife and I are actually, like, pretty strict with our kid because of, like, how unhinged I am. But, you know, it's one thing to be an adult, you know, and to be able to do adult things as an adult. It's one thing to have a kid. You know, I'm fucked up. I was raised in LA. I'm like, I've done a lot of drugs. You know what I mean? I made a lot of bad choices. I've gotten around. I've just done a lot of bad things in my life. So my brain is broken. Even though I'm trying to do what's right, or I try to do better in my life, I'm a little bit of a broken person in a lot of ways. I don't want that for my son. So I'm not, like, overly strict, but we're not showing him a dog cartoon with queer people in it. The hell is that? So it's popular, but people have a really weird obsession about it. And I've always said this, like, parents are too weird. Like, grow the fuck up and stop being weird. But I think I might have found one of the most uncomfortable videos that reminded me, like, this is what people say, you don't talk about white people. Look, yeah, white liberal women have lost their damn minds. When I talk about feminism, I'm talking about white people, because Jews created it, but white people live it out. Listen to this. Listen to this. This is crazy. This is about a dog cartoon. This is so freaking weird. Listen.
You heard of Bluey? It's Australian.
Is it the dog
cartoon?
Show?
Dog show?
I put it on for my dog when I leave.
That, the dog dad? I would fucking fuck his brains out. The dog dad, he's funny, he's kind, he's smart. He's a dog. And I have never been more attracted to anybody in my life.
Really?
And Bandit? It is a cartoon dog.
Bandit?
Oh, he's such a good dad.
He looks like a dog version of Phil Bunty.
I've masturbated to him.
Really?
I have masturbated to him.
Like, I'm so curious though, is he a cartoon?
He's a cartoon.
Were you imagining you two together? Were you just to his personality?
I was reading to him. You have to hear his voice though. I was also reading to his voice. You heard of Bluey? It's Australian.
Is it the dog
cartoon? Dog.
When I say that you don't understand anything about women's sexuality, I mean that. Like, women are very bizarre in that way. Like, they'll just smell you smelling smelly and it turns them on. And then other times you're like, want to get it on, and they just aren't into it. I'm not going to try to explain female sexuality ever on the show, because I don't think I fully understand it, and probably never will. But I will say that they get away with doing weird stuff, man. A lot of girls do some really weird stuff. Fantasy bestiality is not what I thought I would be hearing today, but it is what it is.
That's
don't
great.
Forget, guys. I wanted to let you guys know, particularly, you can check out one of our sponsors for today. I just want to give them a shout out because we're not doing any other shows this week directly. You can go to undertac.com, UNDERTAC.com, and you can get the best boxers in America that's made with Modal, which is like cotton on steroids. Now, these boxers are breathable. They don't bunch up, which I hate when boxers like scrunch up your balls. They also don't lose elasticity, so they just last forever, which is like kind of good and bad for the company, because it's good for you because you get to use them for a long time. Bad for the company because you won't be replacing them very often. But more recently, I've been able to get some t-shirts, really comfortable. I think they're one of the most comfortable t-shirts. If you want a snug fit, I'm 6'2", and I wear a large, but a looser fit if you like it looser. These are the kind of shirts that I think you should wear a little tighter. Like, I'm wearing more of like a loose, like mint green shirt, just because my whole family's matching today. But I'll be wearing this at another time. And I think down here they have this awesome sweater that Kez and I fight over using, the R&R Crew sweatshirt. It's really, really, really comfortable. Plus, I have socks. They keep your feet warm, same material. You should check it out today. Get 20% off their entire collection at undertac.com, UNDERTAC.com, promo code OFFENSIVE20. That's undertac.com, promo code OFFENSIVE20. Check it out and, you know, just do what you got to do to get the best products. They're also cheaper than the competition, but higher quality at undertac.com, promo code OFFENSIVE20. Check it out. Okay, let's talk about some other things. Oh, you want to talk about something gross here. So I was thinking of Lord Miles put this up, and it is just disgusting. So I know too much about transgender surgery because I did my thesis on it at a university. But apparently this person said, I woke up this morning with this in my underwear. It came out of my vaginal canal and I'm scared I lost my vaginal lining. It is tube shaped and all in one piece. Is it common to pass something like this or do I need to call my doctor? I am freaking out and currently almost a month post-op. My surgery was April 5th. Please help. I have so much anxiety. So this fell out of their mangina, their dussy, designer pussy. Oh, it's disgusting. I don't know what that is. Chat, let me know what you think that is. That is next level. I think that's the lining of a penis that fell out of their body. I like how we lose people whenever I bring this stuff up, but whatever. We're here and we're going to talk about that. All right. Some more things that is going on. Speaking of weird crimes going on in the country and weird things in the world, a man was actually convicted, I believe. A murder suspect is accused of eating a victim's face near Las Vegas Strip, CBS 8. Developing colon check 29 has been charged with open murder. Documents reveal that just before 5 a.m. on Sunday, a caller alerted police to an incident on Las Vegas Boulevard near Charleston Boulevard, where a man was seen forcibly taking another man to the ground. Approximately 45 minutes later, another call was made to the police reporting a distressing scene at a bus stop where one man was observed eating the face of another man. And Tara Bull said, how did we get here? So, I don't know. Do you guys want to know something funny? I actually... You know how I said I always am losing a ton of money for my opinions and I just don't really care? I want to be careful because of an NDA, but I was supposed to like receive this grant recently for like six figures, for my journalism. And yeah. And I don't think I'm getting it anymore. And I think it has to do with my opinions on Israel, because I noticed that the people are really pro-Zionist and all of a sudden I was supposed to get it. A grant to do journalism during the election. Like, I'm supposed to get like a six figures to help fund trips to go like do journalism. And I don't know if I'm going to get it anymore because of my views on Israel. I hope, Brian, let's not be trigger happy on that there. Cause I'm trying to express something here. I don't know. So I was going to get this grant. So I was going to be able to like sort of go into the thick of things where I wanted to go. I'll still be able to travel and do whatever I want, but a six-figure injection would have basically funded all my trips through the election. But I think I'm not getting it because they just ghosted me after like I publicly came out against the Israeli side in the war. I never came out pro-Gaza. I'm not even pro-Gaza. And then I just like randomly stopped hearing from anyone there. So yeah, So that, you know, that's like an, so I think we are up so much money in terms of losing for just being honest about things. That's really, really, really insane. Right. So $11 a week. Yeah. Yeah. Literally. So that's what it is. Someone said it's Brian's fault. Yeah, it is. It is. It is. It's all Brian's fault. We can blame Brian for everything. Actually, everything is Brian's fault.
I'm kind of retarded.
All right. All right, guys. Yeah, I don't mind. No, I don't mind taking, I don't want to take money from people who don't, who want to control what I'm going to say. The thing is look, I work with other companies to this day and we are fine. Ideologically, we're aligned. So I have no problem. But I have to say it is true that, you know, if you're honest, you'd lose a lot of money, you get censored, and then people mock you too. They're like, oh, you don't get a lot of views or this or that. And you know what? I have a clear conscience when I go to bed, and I have like, to every person who's crossed me in my life, to every money I've lost, to everything I've left, it's worked out for the better. Because it's always good to expose fake friends, fake companies, fake people, fake advertisers. You know, people are funding you and they get mad because you spoke your mind, but they're funding you to speak your mind and they try to put brakes on you. It's just like, it's like, well, you know, I understand there's decorum, right? I'm not going to just like go around calling for violence or doing anything illegal, but if you just don't like my speech, then I'll keep living off my $11 a week. Cause that's what I'm making it now. It's pretty good. Which apparently, someone said Brian masturbates to Bluey's dad. Oh, Brian, that's sick. I don't know how Dat Raging Cajun knew that, but that is sick, man. That is disgusting. But we all know.
Listen,
what's
you
going
son
on.
Of a
yeah.
bitch.
Yeah. Everybody is APAC. By the way, a lot of these companies are actually not that profitable. These media companies are just funded by billionaires to push the Zionist agenda. That's true. I'll never be able to talk about it probably for my entire life because I've signed a lot of paperwork that I just legally probably can never get into the semantics. But you already know what's going on. It is what it is. These people are funded by very, very foreign allegiance type people. So we'll leave it at that. Anyway, thank you guys so much again for watching Nightly Offensive. I'll see you guys in a week. Make sure you're following me on Instagram, on Twitter, on X and stuff, because I'm gonna be on some really, really big shows doing some media stuff. So you got to pay attention because it's gonna be worth watching. It's gonna be worth paying attention to. It's gonna be good. Your boy is back in the game. A lot of big things coming up soon. So it's really exciting, and I'm so happy. I'll have Fleckas on in person the next time I see him. All right. Twitter X, right? Follow me on X. Whatever you want to call it. Anyway, head over to Censored TV. If you want to get a membership, use the promo code Offensive. You get this show plus so much more, including Gavin McGinnis. You get Atheism's Unstoppable. You also get, you know, a few of these other, let me see this real fast. You get a few other shows here. Let me go here. All right, check this out. I want to go and tell you, to you, those of you guys that are there, to Cocteau, Rusty Shackelford, Redwater, thank you for saying have a fun trip, eat, and be safe. Glad to hear about the new opportunities. Yes, sir. Cocteau said Rumble Chat is fighting amongst themselves. What was this? What is this? Okay. It is what it is. All right, we'll keep it real. And then going to Locals, let me see if anyone is in Locals. Sorry, I haven't been on the chat. I've been so bad with all this stuff. But I do know the show is going to be getting better in the next few months when I get it all set up and stuff. Because I'm just tired. And I can't just be talking in my room like this to a mic. Who am I? Why am I here? What is the point of life? Why can I never get shit to load in my studio here? This computer sucks. What the hell's going on? Validation successful. I can't even lose. Oh, St. J said, is E in the States? No, I'm not right now. Spaghetti Edwards said, have Gorka on. Yeah, that'll be fun. St. J said, Locals chat controls what you say. True. Butthead sent some green helmets. Vince Lasagna said the smoke alarm chirp sound is my incoming text ringtone, so I look at my phone every time y'all are playing the sound chirp. That's pretty funny, actually. Mermaid American says, my peaceful Christian family is in Lebanon, doesn't fear Hamas or Hezbollah. They fear people like Valentina Gomez. Really? Why? Interesting. Vince Lasagna said, we are all Palestinians to the Jews. And that's true. Anyway, thank you guys so much for watching another episode. I really do love you guys a lot. We're signing out here. Make sure that you have a great rest of the week. I'll see you around, and we'll get back with big guests and big things going. We'll get the whole shebang moving around. Don't worry about it. It'll all happen. You just give me a little bit of time here to travel and get this done. And please pay attention, because I'm going to need your support on these shows. As you got to understand, a lot of people do not like our little show and the things we say. And a lot of people do not like me. And we don't focus on drama here. We just focus on topics, ideas, and stuff. But there's a lot of people who do. So I try to stay out of all that stuff. There's a bunch of retarded faggots out in the world there that we just have to avoid, because they're fucking bitches, man. They're crazy people, bro. They're just insane. And I just cannot understand why the world is the way it is sometimes. It's insane. But we need to do our best. So love you guys. Have a great rest of the week, as always. And may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.